What the parallel importation rules are is a set of rules that came in 1991 that prevents booksellers or overseas publishers from dumping large quantities of cheap books that they no longer want onto the Australian market to undercut the local bookselling scene. So that when I sell a publisher the right to publish one of my books in Australia, which has always been Pan Macmillan, I give them the right to exclusively publish, you know, 78 Story Treehouse in Australia. And the PIR protects them against anyone else trying to sell competing copies. Mm-hmm. And it's what every other country has in order to allow publishers the certainty to invest in producing a particular book and the long-term investment of promoting the books, of touring me around nationally, of providing the marketing and the editing, which is so important to the books. So publishers need certainty. And the Productivity Commission has, I think misguidedly said, if we get rid of PIRs, we'll be able to bring the price of books in Australia down because there'll be more competition. But that competition comes from overseas publishers. In my case, it could be overseas editions of my books undercutting the local market, thereby, denying Pan proper return on their investment. And the most worrying implication of that is that it reduces the amount of money they have to invest in new Australian authors.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, because the two competing arguments seem to be, let's do this, we'll get cheaper books. And then the other one is that it will really impact our creative culture. And I'd be willing to bet that there are a lot of Christmas trees across the country right now that have Andy Griffith's books waiting to be unwrapped. But how could these changes impact you as a creator? Or maybe 15 years ago. Let's think about the next Andy Griffiths coming through.
Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking about. And 15 years ago, I was a new, rough and ready author with, I was really rough. And Pan provided me with fantastic editorial services, a publishing strategy. They toured me twice a year for the last 15 years, where I got to meet readers, meet booksellers. And all of that is part of the process by which you develop your skills and your ability to better service the audience, because they're there telling you exactly what they want. And if we don't have those Australian voices, I think we lose something. As much as I love books from other countries, and I love music from other countries, it's Australian music and Australian literature that really have a flavour that no other cultural product does. And we need to really factor that in to the equation. Now, the idea of cheaper books is not even going to be achieved by this, because book prices have come down naturally as a result of, greater online competition over the last 5 years.
And I understand correctly, there's nothing stopping me going online and ordering a book from overseas as an individual.
You can do that. You can go to a major department store here and buy my books for hardly more than cost value. So if you're a canny shopper, those cheap books are already there. But you may be an ethical, responsible shopper who wants to support your local bookshop, who is likely to have me or the next version of me available for author events where you get to see, hear, touch and build a relationship with that author. And this is also what the argument for greater competition is not taking into account, that the bookshops have been my lifeblood.
You've talked a little bit about bookshops and the importance they have in the industry. How big is the Australian books and publishing industry really?
Well, I think it's 7,000 new books every year. There are 4,000 jobs created directly from that activity, and over $2 billion generated by the industry. Not to mention the authors who then publish overseas as a result of the Australian success, who are now generating enormous amounts of export dollars for Australia. If we were to threaten and reduce the amount of Australian publishers, it means that booksellers would begin to import titles from overseas, Australian titles from overseas, which means instead of exporting, we're importing our own product, which is madness.
None of this sounds productive for jobs and growth. That's a little thing I picked up listening too much to politicians. So, we have the federal opposition, and they've recently come out saying that they wouldn't be supporting any relaxation of parallel importation restrictions. We've got the government that are saying, "Oh, well, this is something we'll consider." The federal opposition won't. What does this mean now? Where are we at with this report and the Labor Party making these statements?
Well, I think it's a great win for Australian publishing that the Labor Party is prepared to protect this amazing industry and this unique industry. As Thomas Keneally has said, books are not toothbrushes. They are not something you can mass produce. Every book has its own very long genesis and its own very own particular effect on readers and, you know, set of concerns. So we need to look very carefully at this industry. And the Labor Party have done that and responded to our concerns, as have a number of the independent parties, such as Jackie Lambie and Nick Xenophon, indicated their support. So I think, you know, it's been a wonderful end-of-year Christmas present for the Australian publishing industry.
Yeah, and in his statement, Opposition Leader Bill Shorten maintained that Labor are going to fight for the tens of thousands of jobs which depend on the strong book publishing industry. And that's amazing. And much of the rhetoric around this change does focus on the economic argument. What I wonder, and maybe what I'd like to leave our listeners with as they go into reading great books over the Australian summer, is should we all just be reducing Australian publishing to another industry? You've already mentioned Tom Keneally's comments about it's not toothbrushes here. What's the cultural contribution that we're threatening here?
Well, I deal with kids and receive correspondence from kids and parents every day saying how much my particular books mean to those kids. The fact that I'm an Australian author living in Australia producing these books makes it a very tangible kind of thing to aspire to. They often comment how creative the kids are after reading the books, designing their own tree houses, their own dress-ups, and all sorts of wonderful, innovative, you know, creativity is coming from this. And particularly in the past too, you know, books like The Day My Bum Went Psycho and The Bad Book are celebrating a very Australian type of humour. And I think, you know, I've often had families say, we thought it was just us who thought this kind of stuff was funny, and we're just thrilled to be able to celebrate it with our kids in book form at bedtime every night. So we are dealing with the next generation of entrepreneurs, of imaginative children who have their eyes wide open and their imaginations fired. So to me, it is a no-brainer that we need a thriving Australian book industry.